For the last 2 weeks, many of our neighbors, probably a lot of our neighbors, and perhaps some of you, have been attending to the high holy days of the Jewish year. First, the New Year, and yesterday in Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's the holiest day of the year for Jewish observance and celebration, but it's interesting that it's also noted as the happiest day. And in the 10 days between the New Year and Yom Kippur, there's a process going on of coming to terms with failure, with broken promises, personal fault, and so on. And the themes of repentance, confession, and return are foremost in people's minds. But you know, much of these attitudes, as they seek to deal with them, are worked out in the community, especially the reconciliation between rich and poor. Even as observant Jews are seeking reconciliation with God, they are dealing with reconciliation with their neighbors, especially around money and issues of stewardship. In rituals and prayers and even in stories told to children, a connection is made between righteousness and how the poor are treated by the wealthy. In other words, you can't approach God if there's something that you've forgotten to do in caring with your neighbor. That sounds kind of familiar. Now, there was a rabbi who talked about these things. Rabbi Jesus taught along very similar lines. And in his invitation to the kingdom of God, he repeatedly points out that money and possessions and our relationship to them and to those who are in need have deep consequences, and they're intertwined. And in this section of the Gospel of Luke, he keeps coming back to this. You might say, didn't we hear this sermon a few weeks ago? A very similar one, yes, because Jesus keeps coming back to it. When it comes to the subject of wealth and possessions, their hold on us is great. Their hold on people of the first century was great. It's something Jesus continued to hold up and to deal with. And you know, the stakes are very high. So in today's parable and the one that follows next week, we're face to face with our need to change. And as one contemporary rabbi said this week in writing about Yom Kippur on the website Ask the Rabbi, he said, it's about change, and change is possible. Now, obviously, Christians and Jews have a very different idea of how atonement is realized. For we put our faith in the atoning one, Jesus Christ, who has offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sin of the whole world. And that sounds a lot like the prayer during the communion. It is. In fact, we walk through that story every Sunday as we gather at God's table. But you know, we are, by God's grace and by adoption, we're also children of Abraham, and we inherit a long understanding that righteousness is not just avoiding the things we call sin, but it's also doing the things that please God. We pick this up a little bit in Amos today in the Old Testament. Speaking of that long tradition, it's at the front of the Bible. It's the 2/3 of the Bible. It's what we call the Old Testament. And God was bringing judgment on his own people because of two things. One, their spiritual arrogance and the way they treated the poor. And Amos was sent to basically give them the good news. Hey, you're going to be wiped out. Just as health is not only the absence of sickness, and that's true in the medical field, it's not, health is not just, oh, he's not sick. It's the presence of certain things that point to health, certain vital signs. So for us, our entry to the kingdom is not marked by just avoiding certain bad things. But it involves, as the prayer book says, doing all such good works as the Lord has prepared for us to walk in. And apparently that means some relationship between the faith that we claim and our treatment of the poor. And again, if you think you've already heard this, you're right, we have. We've been hearing it in the gospel, this gospel,